please join us at our Global Flood Seminar in Denver at the Brown Palace. Bob Inyart Live and Real Science Radio are hosting this scientific look at the Genesis Flood of Noah's Day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 29th. Registration is $20 or $30 for the family. Reserve a seat online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or pay at the door or call now 800-8-ENYART, that's 800-836-9278. See you there.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
And today is our annual list of evidence against the Big Bang.
What great timing. We've got two Big Bang stories in the news, right?
That's right, Fred. March 2014, they proved the Big Bang.
Yeah.
They proved the inflation theory. Remember Alan Guth in the 80s? He's still around. They proved it.
Yep.
Well, they didn't actually.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Let's get to that later in the program because
this
is so fun. Stop
the tape. This is Bob Inyart interrupting my own show. And Fred, you're here too.
Yeah, eight months later.
Right. That was back in March of 2014. This is December. And we're now concluding the program we began last week, which is Real Science Radio's list of Big Bang predictions. But back then, that's when the whole scientific community was ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. High-fiving each other. The smoking gun for inflation.
Yeah,
and,
the
you know,
Big Bang.
We now have seen about that. In fact, only 3 months later, the data came out that contradicted the inflation theory.
It turns out that pretty much everybody has acknowledged that they blew it. Now, we did that whole show on our evidence against the Big Bang. We didn't have time to get to the story that was hot just that week, but we dismissed it because of our worldview, we know that the Big Bang did not happen.
Plus the tremendous evidence that's against it in so many other quarters.
Right. So their claim that, oh, we found the smoking gun, the proof of the Big Bang's inflation period, we just were dismissive because we knew it wouldn't hold up. And I was a bit surprised at how quickly it fell to pieces.
Yeah.
So, Fred, last week we began looking at the predictions of the Big Bang that have failed and the failure of the Big Bang to predict some very enormous claims of cosmologists today. But what we looked at so far is the failed prediction of an entire universe worth of antimatter and the failure to predict what they need today, which is an entire universe worth of dark matter and dark energy.
Theme here is always there's lots of missing stuff.
Lots of missing stuff. And then we talked about the CMB, right? The cosmic microwave background.
Always been one of their favorite predictions.
Yeah. And we showed how there's the missing shadow of the CMB. And also that the guy who won the Nobel Prize, one of the winners for discovering the CMB, said, well, actually, 30 years earlier, we knew what was out there. And so he was giving credit where credit was due, even as he was winning the Nobel Prize, which was pretty neat for him to do that. So now we want to look at the 2014 claimed discovery of gravity waves, which is the alleged evidence for the Big Bang's inflation
period.
For
a rapid expansion at the start of the Big Bang. And that was proposed by Alan Guth. Yes. Now, this guy, he proposed the inflation theory back in 1980. Probably got the idea from Jimmy Carter because the inflation was rampant.
Inflation
back then
was big. Yeah. So we want to look at that. And we want to look at the claimed prediction for the initial abundances of the light elements, like how much hydrogen, helium, and lithium is predicted by the Big Bang. And Fred, they say that's a major proof.
That's one of their big pillars.
That the Big Bang is true because they predicted how much of those elements there would be in the universe. The Big Bang has also failed in its prediction of magnetic monopoles. It's failed regarding its lithium problems and the transparency problem.
That's a new one.
and dozens of other major failed predictions.
Yeah. Tons of them.
So we're up to, and we've already been talking about the inflation period. And if that were true, then there should be in the universe, although hard to detect, gravity waves.
Yeah. They had actually predicted gravity waves. And here's what Guth actually said about that. Alan Guth, he said, I had thought that the Bicep 2, that was the data, I had thought that that data result was very secure. Now the new data came in and he says, now the situation has changed.
Yeah.
And here's what Stanford physicist Andre Lin said of this. He said, let us hope that this is not a trick. I always live with this feeling. What if I am tricked? What if I believe in this just because it is beautiful? You know, Krauss calls the Big Bang beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just a Big Bang Theory rescue device.
And so Stanford physicist who you just quoted, Andre Lind, he's another one of the authors of the inflation theory. And he was interviewed on video when this was announced. And he was so excited. They popped the cork on a champagne bottle early in the morning for breakfast. And it's all on video. And he's saying, but what if it's just a trick? What if I just believe in the inflation period because it makes the Big Bang Theory work? What if? What if? Well, yeah, what if?
What if?
Well, and it turns out then the headlines came out, Physics World, Bicep 2, Gravitational Wave, Bites the Dust.
Bites the Dust. Now, there's a pun there because it was space dust.
Dust that they were looking at, yep. Not the gravity waves of the Big Bang. The Guardian, scientists get it wrong on gravitational waves. Time Magazine, Big Bang proof, might just be dust. MIT says astronomers confirm contamination by stardust. The Economist, dust to dust.
You know, and if they had looked at the Planck data, the Planck had this data, and they would have known it was dust.
They rushed too quickly.
They rushed too quickly. They held this press conference. You can see photos of it, and they're all smiling. You can see them basically in a hyperbole high-fiving. I mean, they're just so excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the press conference now that it was disproven?
You pointed out last week, Fred, that on National Geographic's website, when they announced the Big Bang smoking gun confirms inflation period, people clicked on like for Facebook over 25,000 times.
Yeah. And I saw that as I was getting ready for a presentation. And I thought in my mind, I have a prediction. The story that refutes this is not going to have so many likes on
25,000 likes.
And so
we'll put a graphic in with today's show summary
on the website
at rsr.org. And you'll be able to see, just go to Big Bang Predictions and you'll be able to see 25,000 likes for the announcement, 51 likes for the correction.
Yeah. And as you noted, that correction has been there for like 6 months now.
Yeah, right.
And it's only built up 51 likes.
51 likes. Yeah.
People are probably still liking the original announcement.
Yeah, right. Good point. Now, the journal Nature, the world's most prestigious science journal, and the motherlode of Big Bang philosophy, the journal Nature published a piece on this by Princeton professor of physics, Paul Steinhardt. And he wrote, this is this summer, 2014. Wow, what did he write? He's calling into question even the very predictive value of the inflation period.
Something that's a theory is supposed to have predictive value. And then you know if the theory is true or not is how well it does with predictions. I like what he says.
Well, here it goes. The Bicep 2 incident, that's down in Antarctica, has also revealed a truth about the inflation theory. The common view is that it is a highly predictive theory. And this is in the journal Nature.
Yeah.
This is not in the Bob and Fred weekly update on Real Science Radio. This is in Nature. The common view is that the inflation theory is a highly predictive theory. If that were the case, and detection of gravitational waves was the smoking gun proof of inflation, one would think that non-detection means that the theory fails. Yet some proponents of inflation insist that the theory is equally valid whether or not gravitational waves are detected. How is this possible? Inflation is driven by a hypothetical field, the inflaton, which has properties that can be adjusted to produce effectively any outcome. That's what creationists have been saying
for decades.
No experiment could rule out a theory that allows for all possible outcomes. Hence, the paradigm of inflation is unfalsifiable. It is clear that the inflationary paradigm is fundamentally untestable and hence scientifically meaningless.
Scientifically meaningless. In other words, it shouldn't be a theory. It should be a hypothesis. It's really done as a theory. It doesn't have any predictive value.
Mm-hmm.
How can it be a theory?
And Stephen Hawking once bet this cosmologist from Ontario, Neil Turek. And Fred, he commented something so similarly. He said this, one of the inflation theory's problems is it's very adjustable. Inflation theory makes very few specific predictions that you could actually go out and check with a measurement.
This actually was a smart bet by Hawking because he can wait his whole life, you know. This guy bet him they'd never be detected. Well, hey, you know, Hawking can never lose that bet because he can just die and they've never been detected, but they had a chance that they would be.
And he thought he lost it, but then he didn't lose it because they didn't find them.
Yep.
So, Fred, there's another observation that it's a Real Science Radio observation, like with the missing dark matter. That's not a failed prediction because the Big Bang didn't predict there will be dark matter. And we won't be able to find it. But it's a failure to predict. In other words, if your model really gives you insight into the universe, you think it would help you understand what most of the stuff of the universe would be. Well, it's believed that 96% of the stuff of the universe is dark matter and dark energy. The Big Bang whiffed on that one.
That's a pretty big whiff.
It was a failure to predict. And in fact, these things are believed because of Big Bang nucleosynthesis and other reasons. So the inflation theory, likewise, is an ad hoc secondary assumption that was a failure of the Big Bang model to predict. Like the model didn't say, oh, and by the way, we predict there'll be evidence of an inflation period.
It's a rescue device for what? The starlight problem.
Right.
They've got their own starlight problem. You know, creationists have always had difficulty dealing with distance. How did starlight get here if the universe is 6,000 years old?
Yeah.
And that's a challenge. We've acknowledged that, and we have different ideas for that. Yeah. In fact, you've got a great paper that is
Starlight and Time, which is not public, but you and I have worked on it, Fred, for the last couple of years. Lord willing, we'll get it published one of these days. And by the way, just to clarify, I've always said that God created the earth, the universe, in less than 10,000 years ago. There are a couple different camps of young earth creationists.
Yeah.
Some say less than 10,000 years. Others say 6,000 years ago. And it depends on whose chronology you're using and what assumptions are in there. But less than 10,000 years is how I normally say it. Okay, the next prediction of the Big Bang, Fred, that they claim they get an A+ on, and we're going to list as a failure, is the initial abundances of the elements, hydrogen, helium, and lithium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most cosmologists reject that God could have created the universe in 6 literal days. They reject that. While they themselves believe that within 20 minutes of the Big Bang, 20 minutes, all of its matter had been created via Big Bang nucleosynthesis.
So they won't buy into 6 days, but they'll buy into 20 minutes.
20 minutes, right. I think that's funny.
Yeah.
It's like them having a horizon problem of their own. It's just, it's like they believe that aliens created us, some of them, but they created the aliens. There's so many ironic parallels. So, Fred, before the era of what today they call precision cosmology, long ago in history, back in the year 1990, long time back, almost in the Middle Ages, 1990, a handful of scientists had the guts to address this issue in the journal Nature. And they said, you know, everybody's claiming that the Big Bang predicted how much hydrogen, helium, and lithium would have been created in those first 20 minutes. But in reality, they didn't predict. They just keep adjusting their numbers after the fact.
Yeah, after the fact. They wait for the data to come in, and then they say, hey, we predicted this. Here's a predictive value. And, oh, by the way, here's the data, and this is what the data is.
Right. And so for you and I to make this allegation, of course we would. We're young earth creationists, right? And we don't trust what they've been claiming for the Big Bang. But this is in the journal Nature. It is commonly supposed that the so-called primordial abundances of hydrogen, helium, and lithium provide strong evidence for Big Bang cosmology. I mean, to this day, that's one of the top three.
Mm-hmm.
But a particular value for the baryon to photon ratio, like how many photons are in the universe and how many mm-hmm. neutrons and protons, a particular value for the baryon to photon ratio needs to be assumed ad hoc to obtain the required abundances.
Yeah. So here it is, a candid admission in Nature magazine.
Yeah. Now, not everybody agrees with that.
Alden Arp, he's a leading scientist.
And his co-authors.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, but it is getting published, this accusation that it's after the fact.
He's one of the guys amongst many other secular scientists, and we've talked about this for a long time, cosmologystatement.org, and a whole bunch of scientists signed this paper that basically says, we've got to come up with another theory for the Big Bang because there's so many problems with it. And here's one of the things they said. The Big Bang theory can boast of no quantitative predictions that have subsequently been validated by observation. The successes claimed by the theory supporters consist of its ability to retrospectively fit observations with a steadily increasing array of adjustable parameters.
Steadily increasing array, because now they could fudge with dark matter,
yep.
dark energy, the inflaton, inflation theory. This stuff is almost infinitely
flexible. It's like a big control panel with a lot of knobs on it, and they can just turn it any way they want based on how the data is coming in.
To get the output of the model to match what we've observed.
Exactly.
And so, Fred, that cosmology statement, by the way, if you want to read it, go to cosmologystatement.com, because thanks to Real Science Radio, we've made sure that's available for posterity.
Yes.
At cosmologystatement.com. But that has been signed by hundreds of relevantly degreed scientists from prestigious institutions like Max Planck Institute for Astrophysics, Sheffield University, George Mason, Jet Propulsion Lab at Caltech, Cambridge, Lawrenceville Plasma Physics, Penn State, Cal State Fullerton. I mean, it goes on and on, Fred. European Southern Observatory. These are leading institutions with scientists who are ultimately qualified, and they're all saying, look, the Big Bang has pulled something over on everybody.
If you're an atheist and you believe in the Big Bang, how can you explain all these scientists that are on your side in general with your worldview? Yeah. They disagree with the Big Bang.
And so now let's break this down, because the initial abundances of the light elements in those first 20 minutes, it's claimed that only three elements could have been made in that Big Bang nucleosynthesis. Yeah,
hydrogen, helium, lithium.
Right, exactly. So let's first look at lithium, because the initial lithium abundances are still a mess. And this is funny because, Fred, we could go back to our friend Lawrence Krauss, theoretical physicist, emphasis on the theoretical. He wrote in 2012 a best-selling book, A Universe from Nothing. And in there, page 24, he writes that Big Bang calculations so beautifully explain the observed abundance of the light elements, hydrogen, helium, and lithium. Yet there are two papers out this year.
Yep.
This year. We're not going back 40 years. 2014. One is in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society, and the other is in Physics Letters Review, and they report two extreme problems with the lithium prediction.
Yeah, the first is that lithium-6 prediction is off by 1,000-fold.
1,000-fold, that isotope of lithium, lithium-6. And the second is that all lithium isotopes, all of them, show a discrepancy from Big Bang calculations that indicate that the lithium problem is universe-wide.
Yeah.
It's not just in the Milky Way. Yeah. It's all over
the whole universe.
The lithium problem. And we're going to talk a bit more about the lithium problems later on in the show if we can get to it. But first of all, There's a problem right there.
That's a huge problem.
Krauss and everyone else says it does a beautiful job of explaining.
But don't worry about hydrogen. It being off by 1,000 fold.
Right. A beautiful job of explaining hydrogen, helium, and lithium, except for lithium. Okay. Well, there's a problem to start with. Now, let's think about hydrogen and helium, because 50% of the Big Bang's predicted synthesis of hydrogen and helium is missing. And we're not talking about dark matter.
Yeah.
Dark matter, that's an entirely different problem.
This one's probably pretty good for them. Only 50% is missing.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Right. So in his book, A Universe from Nothing, we just made that quote.
Yeah, Lawrence Krauss.
Well, if we continue with that quote, he adds something very interesting.
Yeah, the very same Big Bang calculations also tell us more or less how many protons and neutrons, the stuff of normal matter, must exist in the universe. Yet, the initial density of protons and neutrons in the universe arising out of the Big Bang accounts for about twice the amount of material we see in stars and hot gas. Where are those particles?
Where are they?
Where are they indeed?
Car 54, where are you? I don't know if you ever saw that.
I didn't. Fred.
With all that missing matter, I mean, how much is that compared to all the mass of all the gas and stars in all the galaxies of the universe? That's how much mass they
that's
say
a lot,
because
that's
missing.
Half the universe that's, is missing.
I mean, everything we see is missing, and that's not talking about dark matter.
Yeah, but like I said, they're doing pretty good here. Only half the universe is missing.
Right. So with all that missing matter, and it's mostly hydrogen and helium, with all of that missing matter, it's interesting to hear the repeated claim that the Big Bang beautifully explains how much hydrogen and helium, except half of it is missing.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's...
We have to assume there's twice as much as we can see in all the galaxies to say that it did a great job in predicting how much.
How can they say this stuff with a straight face?
It's beyond me, Fred. It's beyond me.
Wow.
So that's a lot of missing matter. And Krauss writes on that same page that we're referencing in A Universe from Nothing, he says, it's easy to imagine ways to hide protons and neutrons.
Of course, he'll say that. They've already hidden 96% of the dark matter energy.
So what's hiding another 2%?
That's easy.
Of the universe.
Yeah.
So, Fred, what's interesting is there's another problem we might get to. They have predicted how transparent the universe would be based on the Big Bang and the early formation of stars and galaxies. Well, it's called the transparency problem. They are seeing scientists, astronomers, astrophysicists are seeing objects far more distant than they ever dreamed possible.
Yep.
And they're saying there are billions of years of missing glare in the universe. Billions of years. So what's going on? Why is the universe crystal clear?
Yeah, and yet there's supposed to be all this dark matter, dark energy that we can't see.
We can't see. Plus, there's 100% of everything we can't see is supposed to be hidden out there. Well, there are not too many places to hide it since the universe
is transparent.
It's transparent. Where are you going to hide it all? What is it all hiding behind stars that are moving? So, Fred, in that quote from Nature, they did the baryon to photon ratio. Remember that?
Yep.
And we should make a comment, Fred, about this baryon to photon ratio figure they use. That's a bit complicated. The general public has an idea what photons are, light particles slash waves. Baryons are neutrons and protons, stuff that typical matter is made out of. Well, in Krauss's book that we keep referring to, he says in there, and we will link to this, he says that the initial density of these baryons of the universe has been determined by fitting the observation of how much hydrogen and helium we have to the theory. I mean, he says that.
Yeah, and this is precision cosmology?
Precision. A PhD in physics from the University of Miami, Jake Hebert, writes about this baryon to photon ratio and Krauss's quote to help people understand it. We'll link to that also. So it turns out that if you go back to an important paper in 2000, they said, you know, the baryon density was 50% higher than they expected. Yet here's their conclusion. It was in agreement with the basic inflation paradigm. So now it's very different than it was in 2000. It's in agreement.
Yeah, with their ad hoc device, the inflation theory.
It's in very good agreement. It's in beautiful agreement. There's so much of a fudge factor here, Fred, than in our written summary of the Real Science Radio list of Big Bang predictions, we will give quotes, we'll reference peer-reviewed articles regarding hydrogen and helium. We'll look at the history of it and how they keep tweaking the theory to accommodate the current data.
And we get words from secular scientists themselves that saying that they're tweaking the data.
Yes, in physics essays, for example, in Cambridge University Press, a book, Modern Cosmology. And this is, we're going through the history of it, but they discuss the helium problem. Then after that initial 20 minutes, then you wait 150 million years until you have stars. And then stellar nucleosynthesis, you have the other light elements, and they have problems. Fred, there's the beryllium problem.
Yeah, they got 1,000 times greater the amount of that. So it's either 1,000 times missing or 1,000 times too much.
Yeah. Then there's the boron problem. And we mentioned earlier.
The moron problem?
No, the boron problem. And then there's the problem of the missing monopoles, the magnetic monopoles. The Big Bang, if it's true, theoretically, it would have predicted, you know how magnetic particles have positive and negative north and south poles?
Yeah.
Well, the Big Bang model predicts that there would be particles, hypothetical particles, that have only a north. Or only a south.
Only a south, but not both, or just particles?
Just the north or just the south. Yep. And pretty much that's another failed prediction. And it goes on and on, Fred. The lithium-6 prediction that we already mentioned is off by 1,000-fold. That's in Physics Letters Review 2014. We'll link to that. The problem of lithium generally being way off, that has been reported in 2014 in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society. We'll not only link to these papers, but we'll excerpt them. We'll quote them to make it easy for people to get an idea of what's going on. And then the last is the transparency problem.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. The universe is transparent, yet we have all this stuff we can't see because it's dark.
And NASA's Fermi telescope has really recently exacerbated the problem. If God made the universe, which he did, just like he wrote our DNA, and they said it's all filled with junk, turns out it's not. It's brilliant. It's functional. Well, the universe is crystal clear.
Yeah.
It's far more clear. There's no glare that they expected that there would be a real problem because of all the infrared light that would be between the galaxies left over from the Big Bang itself, and then the stars evolving over hundreds of millions of years. They said there'll be so much infrared light between the galaxies, it's sort of glare, and we won't be able to see really distant objects. Turns out, they're so freaked out, they call it the transparency problem, that they can see beautifully,
yeah,
way further than they ever imagined. We'll quote from, we'll link to New Scientist and to other studies. And so, Fred, this is just the kind of universe that you would expect that God would make.
Crystal clear. And, you know, just before the show started, I did a quick search on my Android phone for Big Bang predictions. And on the first page, I'm looking for one from a secular source. And this is from a university where they said, no other model can predict as much with as high accuracy as the Big Bang model can.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Really?
It's just astounding.
Yeah, a thousand off in one direction or the other. In some cases, even more so. 96% of the universe is missing data we should see.
Much.
And, so, and it's transparent, though. We should see it.
So then we will end with, shock and awe, the dozens of additional major predictions from the Big Bang that we will link to.
So this is like the end of a fireworks show where we're now going to just, there's just so much more, just boom, 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 boom.
There's
so many predictions that go against the Big Bang.
We won't even mention them, but they'll be in the written show summary at rsr.org/Big Bang Predictions. So much fun. Hey, this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. Fred, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
And go to our website. You could donate one time or monthly. Please help us to stay on the air. And you can browse our science department in the store. Just click on the store. You'll love the science department, the videos, books, the best of the best. May God bless you.
Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.